Joe Cocker with a little help from my friends and the Spencer Davis group. Somebody help me. Help being the operative word, because Tracy Leonetti from LBS is here. The witching hour is becoming closer and closer with the transition period ending, and we need to get our house in order. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Rob.
Lovely to see you again.
And you too. Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And in between when we met, you've had it.
I have, actually. I've been there. I've had the T-shirt, and now I'm a survivor.
Are you sure it wasn't something you ate?
No, it definitely wasn't.
So what's it like?
It's like a flu.
Is it?
Well, it was for me. I mean, I think everybody has different symptoms, of course, some worse than others. But for me, it was, you know, like the flu. You basically had headache, fever and tiredness, really, a week, maybe 10 days.
10 days, yeah. Did you lose your sense of taste or smell at all? Or
no.
No?
It's such a shame, really, because I still like chocolate.
Because this is the thing. I mean, you know, the symptoms are so varied that it's hard to know if you've got it or not.
It is, yeah. I thought I had a cold, to be quite honest, to start with.
Yeah, well, I think that's the most sort of common sign, really, isn't it?
But, yeah, and I did have a test. It was negative beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the incubation period is very... sort of prone to variation as well. So, but you can actually firsthand tell us that it's not a hoax, that COVID-19 does actually exist.
I did hear you this morning. That's why I sent the message. It's absolutely not a hoax. It does exist. Exactly.
Right. Well, as we've been mentioning more and more frequently, the transition period is coming to an end. December the 31st, we've had 4 years of wrangling. Where are we at the moment?
Well, we're all waiting for the website to come online on the 1st of October, of course. So we've got hundreds of thousands of people who want to upload their files. So we're waiting for that. Will it? The big question. I think they have to make it happen at the beginning of October because we're already 3 months late. And, of course, possibly extension on the other side of it as well because we've lost 3 months.
Yeah, I was talking about that earlier because the deadline for getting it in is June of next year, is it not? So they'll have to extend it by a few months at least, surely.
Well, one would hope because we were supposed to have a year to be able to go through this process, 6 months obviously to apply and 6 months for the card to come through. Mm. But we've lost 3 months, so yeah, one would think.
And is it going to be straightforward with people with existing cartridges or just to sort of copy their cartridge and send it in and then you'll get a new one back in the post?
Well, you know, will it be as simple as that? Nothing is ever as simple as that, is it? Let's face it, in France. But we are thinking that, obviously, if you already have a carte séjour, be it existing or expired, that you upload that to the website and that's going to facilitate the process, especially the permanent ones, of course, because then you won't have to prove all your financial status again.
Right, so Sarah, who's got a carte séjour, which ran out when, was it?
2000, I think.
And you still got it?
No, that's why I just asked the question.
Yes.
I said I can do this.
I didn't realise it expired in 2000, but hey.
Because
it's still a carte séjour.
It is.
It's nice, it's pink and blue.
Well, this is mad, because
I look great on it.
When I went down to the prefecture, I think, was it last year? I can't remember. So long. But when I went down there and I showed them my carte séjour, which expired in 2016 because I'd kept it up to date anyway. And after 2000, it ran out just before the referendum, would you believe? God. And I thought, at the time, I thought, I'm not going to bother renewing it. I don't need it anymore. And then the referendum result went the other way.
Yeah.
But they just took it and they didn't take it into account. I had to do all the paperwork.
Yeah, you do. Everybody had to go through it all again. And, you know, it's a shame because a lot of people who had requested a carte séjour part of the EU, they were saying you don't need them, you don't have to do it. It's no longer optional. So people didn't do it. But, yeah, you know, it's what it is. So you don't fight it, you go with it.
Yeah.
As we say at LBS.
So the message is now that if you haven't got your paperwork in order, you've really, really got to start to put it together.
Well, yes, exactly. And we've been saying this for 4 years. And now I've been on here a few times trying to help people. We've helped a lot of people. And that's what, you know, the event is about, is trying to help people, you know, get their paperwork in order and get ready, not just about Brexit, but relocating to France in general. It's not just, you know, people who live in the UK. There's all people all over the world moving to France, thank goodness. And yeah, now is the time to, you can't really leave it any longer if you want to get in before the 31st of December.
Yeah, there shouldn't be anyone left in the wait and see camp, basically. Everybody now should be fully on board and think, it is happening, I've got to get my act together and do it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, it is happening. There's no doubt about it. It is happening. So, yeah, the paperwork processes and the paperwork footprints, as I like to call them, should be well underway by now.
And for people listening on the other side of the channel who are trying to escape before the end of the year, then really they've got to get on with it as well. And this is really complicated because some people are in the process of selling their houses. It doesn't happen really quickly. So a lot of people are really in limbo at the moment, really want to go but can't yet.
Well, we have calls on this every day. And that's one of the reasons I set up the online summit, was to help people who are moving to France and how to prepare for that. There are people even now still trying to get across, and how do you manage the whole process from, you know, finding a property, because you really have to prove to be in France before that deadline, which is very important. And what can you do to do that if you've got a property to sell? And there's a whole tax situation to think about. There's the whole, you know, buying process. So really the idea of, you know, helping people understand which the domino effect of the whole situation, really, what to start with and how to move through that process to make sure that you benefit from the withdrawal agreement.
One suggestion is for the people worried about selling, if they're selling their house at the moment in the UK, they can actually come over to France and rent somewhere in the meantime while the sale's going through.
Well, that's what we're advising a lot of our relocation clients who are moving in from whatever country, but definitely from the UK, is to rent a long-term property. So generally a year, a furnished property for a year would be what I would advise as the minimum, because with that you have a long-term rental agreement and you can use that for your residency criteria.
But then you have to get into the French healthcare system as well if you're going to make it permanent, and if you haven't got a job when you come over, then that's tricky, isn't it?
Well, healthcare you can get into via the residency criteria if you're here for 3 months or more, so you can apply. Even if you're inactive, of course, you would have to prove all of this through documents, but yes, you can apply.
I have a question. I might have missed something here, but when the deadline kicks in, and if for those that maybe then later decide to move to France, they won't be able to?
Well, they will, but it's not going to be that easy.
Yeah, people could move to France after.
So similar to in 94 when I arrived, you go through all the paperwork to get your carte de séjour and move to France.
When I first came here in 1986, you had to have a carte de séjour, and I wasn't working and it was quite difficult. But eventually I got a job and, not here by the way, but I got a job and I managed to get the carte de séjour. That will be the similar. It'd be like for other third country nationals at the moment, such as Canadians and Americans. You've got to have employment, you've got to prove that you've got an income, and even then it's not guaranteed, but most of the time they let people have a residence permit, don't they?
Well, the same applied to me. I came here 30 years ago when, you know, I had to apply for a residency permit. So you'd be treated like a third country national. So the complexity of it will be different, but they're also, you know, long stay visitors visas for those that don't want to work. For those who want to work, it'd be a bit more complicated. Mm. For those who just want to come and go as they please without too many restrictions of this 90-day rule, then a long stay visitors visa is the way to go, like we advise for Americans, Australians and things like that. So yes, you can still move to France after the 31st of December, and yes, it will be a bit more complicated.
Right. But for British people who want to come over here and work, it's going to be more complicated, because if there's an EU citizen who's qualified to do the job ahead of them, they go down the pecking order.
Well, that's been happening already, to be quite honest. Yes, people who have British passports have been applying for jobs, have been pushed back because of the possibility of what's happening with Brexit. That's happened already over the past couple of years. It might not be very visible, but I've seen it.
Which is not strictly legal.
No, it's not.
But it's kind of breaking the law, but in a sort of specific way, isn't it? Really?
It's a bit prejudiced, that's for sure.
Yeah. The other thing is, we have lots of people, you know, some really lovely listeners who have second homes here, and they come down for a few months a year and spend the rest of the time in the UK or elsewhere. But, you know, it's going to make it more difficult for them to come and stay for 3 or 4 months in a row, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, they've been quite privileged so far, because most of the European countries, after 3 months, you have to register anyway. In France, that was always different. You never had to. It was optional. So they've had that kind of, you know, quite privileged scenario where they can stay 4 or 5 months without a problem. Obviously not much more than that because of tax purposes. Now, of course, if they want to come and go as they please and not have to fall into that 90-day criteria of 180, then they'll have to go via the long-stay visitors visa route.
I think the French government's been quite kind, really, so far. I mean, they've been more accommodating than it has been the other way around. And they must realise that certain parts of France, like Dordogne-shire, as we call it, I mean, there are whole villages which were inhabited by British people, which were pretty much derelicts before, and people have actually got them going again. So they must realise the value of having British people living in France.
I think they do, and I think they've tried to be as, you know, as helpful and comprehensive as possible. I know people have struggled through the whole processes with the prefecture and things like that, but, you know, the French didn't ask for this, and therefore they just tried to deal with it in the best way as possible. So they are trying to be helpful. It's not always easy with the amount of numbers that they didn't realise how many people were living here, to be quite honest.
A couple of people have been asking us, will the British government's threats to rewrite part of the withdrawal bill affect the citizens' rights?
Mm. Ah, now that's a whole new subject.
Yeah. Theoretically, it shouldn't, because that's already been signed into law. But if you're going to break parts of an international treaty, then there's no guarantee that the other side might redefine their own rules.
Well, this is it. I mean, they legally, no. But, you know, anything is possible, isn't it? We've seen what's been going on. So, no, they shouldn't be able to. But, you know, a contract has been signed and it's been agreed. You shouldn't be able to go back on that. But, you know, I believe in, you know, keeping an open mind about things, because I've seen lots of things going in the background that we don't see. So theoretically, no, it shouldn't happen.
But theoretically, I mean, if you're solvent and you haven't got a criminal record, you should be OK anyway.
Oh, yes. I don't see anybody who has a legal situation, a proper legal situation, is up to speed with their taxes, having a problem.
Better stop packing your bags, Sarah.
Yay, at last, they're sending me home.
The Full English Breakfast Show with Tracy Leonessi. And Tracy, the main reason you've come in this morning, apart from the expert's advice, of course, is you are staging a Relocating to France virtual summit on the 9th of October. And this will be absolutely crucial for people who do want to get themselves in order and see what the best options are for them.
Yes, I decided to do this online summit because I was thinking, how can I help people get knowledge, of course. So I've pulled together a panel of experts, not just myself, but people who will talk about wealth movement, the buy-in process. We have cultural integration, money movement. And the idea is to get as much information about, you know, healthcare, Brexit, immigration out there before it happens. But the underlying reason I'm organising this summit is to help a charity that is really important to me. And it's a charity called the Enfants Bleus. And I remember with COVID coming along, I thought, how would I have reacted as a child growing up, being stuck at home for 3 months? The outcome may not have been the same today as it was. So how can I pay it forward and give back? So sharing knowledge is what I do for my business, but also I give knowledge away every day. So the idea is to share the knowledge with as many people as possible, and all the proceeds will go to this amazing charity that are helping people on children on a day-to-day basis, for, you know, who've been abused and neglected, and especially with COVID, which has really brought this to the forefront, really.
Yeah, and it's Sarah's been reporting on the incidences of domestic violence, which has really spiralled since the start of this whole epidemic, and a lot of children have been left in the middle, and it hasn't been an easy period for anybody, really.
No, there's been an 80% increase in violence, family violence, so that's not just children, but of course women as well, an 80% increase. The hotline number for neglected and abused children, 119, is the number to call. They had, you know, generally 8,000 calls, it went up to 16,000. And you know, the good thing about that, which, you know, kind of makes me feel good, is that because of COVID, more people were at home. Therefore, they were listening and were watching and were reporting about children who they hadn't seen, or they were hearing things that they didn't want to hear, and they were reporting that. So those numbers, of course, doubled, which would not have come to light had COVID not happened as well. So there's kind of this positive negative going on. And, you know, this association has done amazing things. I don't know if you heard about Fortnite. They put the character in Fortnite
right,
to help children be able to report that they were being abused during this COVID situation, which is what brought me to them. I saw this because my child, you know, 12-year-old on Fortnite, I saw this. So that's what made me start working with this association to bring them, you know, to the forefront, really.
I believe Fortnite is a video game, is it not? I'm not really au fait with that. Space Invaders is about as far as I've got.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no, Pac-Man.
Well, Super Mario, maybe. Or Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, yeah, exactly. I remember that one.
But that's all the kids are doing these days, isn't it? Fortnite and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is. It's Fortnite. But at least we saw, you know, something positive come out of Fortnite with this charity. So this is why the event is there. You get top information from major experts. You pay a small fee and all that money is going to go to this charity so they can do even more good for children. So please, please, please help us.
Who's going to be speaking?
Well, me, of course, on healthcare, immigration, Brexit, and there's going to be Mike Milestone from Blevins Frank talking about wealth management, and we will have Heslop and Platt, we'll have Fabienne there to talk about the buying process and the traps to avoid. We're going to have a currency expert there to talk about how to move your money in a most cost-effective way. We have Antonia Beauvoisin, who is there from Kiduland, to talk about culture and integration and language. So there's a lot of things going to be going on. Healthcare from me, of course. Brexit, immigration will come from me. And people can pop in and pop out throughout the whole day to listen to those that they want to listen to. So, you know, it's a whole day event online.
And this is being organised via Zoom or Facebook or...?
Yes, I've organised it via Zoom, so everything will be online because of COVID. I usually organise a quarterly event for my Serenity Club members, but because of COVID, I can't do that, or I don't want to do it because of COVID. So I thought, why not make something bigger, access to a bigger, larger public, and at the same time, do a good deed?
Yeah, I mean, our friends at Blevins Franks have been warning for quite some time about the possible financial implications of Brexit. And somebody whispered to me the other day the spectre of possible capital controls in the UK after Brexit.
Ah, well, yeah, well, we'll have Mike on the event. He will talk about that for sure.
It's going to shut down a lot of people's spine if you can't get your money out of the UK.
Exactly. This is why preparation is important. And, you know, part of the event is talking about preparation and how to start preparing now. Because, you know, you can still do it now. You know, I have clients, you know, moving over from the UK now.
Yes.
You know, it still can happen. People say to me every day, is it too late?
No,
it's not too late.
But of time is running out.
But you do have to move pretty quickly, yes. If you want to benefit from the withdrawal agreement, you have to move quickly.
Yeah, the whole financial thing, I mean, the pound's been going down steadily against the euro since the British government made its statement about Brexit yesterday. And some suggestions that after Brexit, it might even get down towards parity against the euro. So what do you do? Do you pull your money out now or wait and see? I mean, the wait and see game hasn't been working very well, has it?
I'm not a great believer in the wait and see philosophy, I have to say. You know, I kind of think you have to take control of your destiny and you have to make a decision. And there's only so much time you can push that out. So I believe in, you know, getting expert opinions, of course, getting the right information and then making a decision on your future and taking control of it rather than letting the governments make their decision then that affect the world economy and then you suffering because of it. So, you know, I've been advising my clients for the last 3 to 4 years is, what do you want? What is your dream? What do you want to do? And how are you going to make it happen? And you take control of your destiny. You know, if you wait and see, you're here 2 months before Brexit and still waiting on seeing. So it's not the right attitude to have, I think.
You're auditioning for a part in the next Star Wars film. Is your destiny.
I haven't got any money in the UK, so.
Haven't you?
No.
Hey, why would I? A long time ago.
Why would I? Why would you? Sorry, ignorance here. Why would you keep money in the UK?
Well, so that when you go back to England, you can, you know, stick your card.
But you're
in
not
home.
Going back. You said you're never
going back. Because you're going back, Rob?
Well, no, not permanently. But I found it useful to keep a small float in the UK just so that I can dip my card into the hole of the wall without having to pay the exchange charges and, you know, so I can do my stuff in WH Smith, etc.
Well, if it's a small float, you've got nothing to worry about. It's people who have pensions and big investments in the UK that have to think about these. And, of course, you know, Blevins Franks, who'll be with us on the event, can talk about that. So, you know, I think anybody who's got a bit of money in the UK, it's not the end of the world. But if you've got big investments, pension pots and things like that, it's things that you need to discuss and get organised now.
It may be a small float, but I have no desire to see it sink.
Well, that's got him going.
I was going to say.
Right.
You're round, is it, Rob?
Yeah. We're in the UK. Except you have to, you can't even order a drink at the bar in the UK. You have to do it online.
It's true in the UK. I was there.
Well, we went to my mother's funeral. We had a get-together in the pub afterwards, and... you had to go on their website to order a round of drinks, and then nobody could find out how to hit send. So we were waiting there, and they, why don't you just write it on a bit of paper wearing a rubber glove and pass it over the bar? Right, Tracy, it's great to see you again. Thanks for coming in. What are the details of the summit? How do we find out more about it?
So the summit's happening, as we said, on the 9th of October from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you want to send an email to me, I can send the landing page where you can join. So email Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, at lbsinfrance.com, or you can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn. And yes, there's a landing page. You'll go to that and you just pay €25, which, as I said, is going to the charity, and that's the way you can join the event and register.
Excellent. So we'll look forward to that on the 9th of October.
Thank you so much, Rob, for having me and for talking about that today.
No problem. Thank you for all your help as well.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law.
Not just yet, but we will need to adapt our behaviours. Look, from Monday, when groups of six people will, no more than six people will be allowed to meet, I think indoors or outdoors, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't actually talking about that, but I'm sure we'll come on to that in a minute. But
what were you talking about?
I'm talking about the internal markets bill. But yeah, we'll come on to that in a minute. But
only in a specific and limited way.
Yes, yeah, so it's okay. So I did stab him, Your Honour.
If you get stopped by the police, you just say, I did speed, but only in a very specific and limited way, so that doesn't count.
You've got first-hand experience of that, haven't you?
I have.
But I did stab him, Your Honour, but only once in the chest, in a limited and restricted way. Oh, God.
Yes.
It's just... Anyway, markets, another terrible day, really, yesterday. Wall Street leading everybody down. Tech stocks bearing the brunt of the falls again.
Yeah, very much so. US technology shares tumbling for a third straight session. NASDAQ down 4% as investors continue to question valuations following the incredible five-month rally that saw the technology index surge somewhere close to 70% from the March lows. NASDAQ has lost 11% in its longest losing streak since July. Tesla, we were talking about Tesla yesterday. Many people may have been listening. Shares tumbled 19%. After committee members of the S&P 500 decided not to include it in the index this time around, perhaps some concerns over its profitability matrix. Also under pressure after General Motors agreed to take a $2 billion stake in Nikola, which is an electric vehicle startup, so perhaps suggesting greater competition there. I don't know how your day went yesterday. Elon Musk's personal wealth dropped $16 billion, which is a bad day in the office by anyone's standards.
Swings and roundabouts for him, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, mostly swings, probably, it has to be said. Still got enough money for lunch, so there's some good news there.
Well, I suppose now he knows what it feels like, you know, to be hurtling back towards Earth at 26,000 miles an hour in a space capsule.
That's a good line, I like that. The S&P 500 fell to its lowest level since August 11th, down 2.8%. Markets also concerned, of course, by the straining US-China relationship. Brexit after Boris Johnson vowed he won't back down over sticking points. Oil slumped once again and concerns that rising cases, particularly likes of India, but also across Europe, will lead to greater restrictions and in turn lower levels of economic activity requiring less energy. Lots of people questioning, are we looking at this bubble bursting when it comes to technology shares? Is it akin to what we saw during the dot-com boom? I think it's very different this time around. We know that share price movements are backed by a range of other factors this time around. Profitability, solid balance sheets, but also the structural change that's taking place that's been driving much faster adoption rates when it comes to technology. So I think this is a natural consolidation, as I've said before, some froth coming off the market, but by no means the start of a fundamental re-evaluation of the sector.
Yes, I was having a reasonably good day, but I must admit I nearly came off the treadmill of the gym when I heard Brandon Lewis speaking in the House of Commons, saying the government was prepared to break international law, as we were mentioning, in a very specific and limited way. I mean, who briefed him on that?
It's a bizarre stance to take for a lawmaker, it has to be said, to acknowledge that they would be infringing upon, shall we say, international law in such a fashion. This is the government looks set to publish today its new bill to regulate the country's internal market. Looks set to transfer powers to regulate issues such as food standards and environmental policy, previously held by the European Union, to the devolved nations. Will seek to harmonise standards across England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland after the transition finishes at the end of this year. The plan is designed to prevent new barriers between the four UK nations, making them sure it's not subjected to limits imposed by devolved governments. by enshrining this mutual recognition concept for standards on goods, services, and things like qualifications. As you say, met with a barrage of disappointment amongst other policymakers yesterday. Opposition politicians described it as a power grab that threatens to devolve government's ability to act independently. The European Union said it would infringe upon the Withdrawal Agreement Bill and the Northern Ireland Protocol, particularly when, of course, it is applied to Northern Ireland, which would mean it would share a border with Ireland. So lots of ramifications as a result of this internal bill.
We went through the whys and what fors yesterday about that, so we won't deal with it again. But I mean, whether it's the case of actually front bench politician vaguely speaking the truth or the actual crux of what he said, but it was even enough for Theresa May to get up and have a go.
It's true, isn't it? A blast from the past, and lots of political voices will be unhappy with the way in which this has been approached and forced through. And it's just an aggressive stance being taken by the Boris Johnson administration in relation to how the transition period will finish and the way in which new rules will come into place, and suggesting that the ability to get the trade agreement with the European Union done looks further away perhaps than was anticipated at this stage.
Well, all does just suggest another massive U-turn by the government at some point. I mean, they had more U-turns than a roundabout in Milton Keynes, didn't they?
It is getting a little bit crazy, this one. As you say, it seems like a government that is reacting to the opinion polls, is reacting to the commentary by newspapers, by political journalists, as opposed to setting a standard and trying to keep to it. And it makes it very difficult, of course, to analyse where future policy is likely to go and where those risks are likely to play out.
And when you consider one of the main thrusts of Brexiteers, i.e. unelected Brussels bureaucrats, when you have someone like unelected Dominic Cummings pulling the strings in 10 Downing Street...
You always try to drag me into these political
just
arguments.
Just a statement of fact, really.
To lay out that there are numerous characters playing out as we go through this this play around Brexit, but we will see how it finally comes to fruition, one would suspect, over the course of the next few weeks. As we've been talking about, both sides have agreed that they need to find some resolution by October if a smooth Brexit deal is to be applied by the end of the year.
Should have gone to Specsavers, and EasyJet not having a great time either at the moment.
Shares down 5% yesterday after saying they slowed the build-up of flights. Following the latest UK curbs on international fraud, which saw quarantine requirements extended, the airline's been planning to fly at somewhere close to 40% capacity during the current quarter, now expects to operate at slightly less than that. Shares were under pressure yesterday after dropping its forecast for a smaller loss in this current quarter than in the previous quarter. They also said it wouldn't provide any guidance for the next fiscal year, which starts next month. Virus cases rising in European countries, along with the UK, but also in the likes of France and Germany. It looks like it's going to be a tougher road to recovery than many had hoped for the airline industry. EasyJet, like many others, calling for sector-specific support for that sector, including the removal of air passenger duty for 12 months, alleviation of air traffic control charges, and extension of a waiver of the use of landing slots and takeoff slots at airports. So lots needs to happen if this is a sector that's not going to spiral deeply out of control.
Well, all that political jiggery-pokery yesterday certainly had an effect on the pound, isn't it?
Yeah, pound falling below the 130 mark yesterday. We know that investors tend to use currencies to express concerns around economies and the outlook, and that's certainly been the case for Brexit. Sterling come under pressure. Pound against dollar this morning, 129.5. Euro dollar coming in at 117.5. You're going to get 1 euro 10 cents for your British pound this morning.
So what are you doing today? Breaking the law at all, or...?
No. I'm always maintaining the law. I have very strict guidance there, so I will be making sure that everyone's abiding by the rules and regulations as prescribed by the government.
You wouldn't stand a chance in 10 Downing Street, then. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
The Regional Health Agency has warned that the health situation in the Outmarra team continues to deteriorate due to the increasing number of COVID-19 cases. The number of people being admitted to intensive care has doubled in the last week, according to the latest figures. The medical profession has reminded the public to respect barrier gestures in order to contain what is considered to be an unfavourable curve in the number of cases of COVID-19. Meanwhile, in Monaco, three new cases were reported on Tuesday, bringing the total number of residents which have been tested positive for COVID-19 in the principality to 156. One resident is hospitalised in intensive care, and 43 people are currently being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. On a national level, more than 6,500 cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in France over the past 24 hours. New measures aimed at controlling the spread of the coronavirus will take effect as of today in the Var. All restaurants and bars in the department will be required to close at 1 a.m. In addition, the general requirement to wear a mask is being brought into force in six further towns, in Ramatuelle, Grimaud, Cavalaire, Saint-Maxime, Le Plan de la Tour and Le Réol Canadelle. The prefect has also renewed the obligation to wear a mask in Toulon and Saint-Tropez. It's been confirmed that the Mont Sartou Book Festival will go ahead next month. Organisers said they have received authorisation for the festival after arrangements were scrutinised by several public bodies, including the Regional Health Agency. The festival will take place outdoors on October the 2nd, 3rd and 4th and will be subject to a strict health protocol. Meteo France has issued a yellow weather warning for storms in the Var today. The warning is in place until 4 p.m. this afternoon. In national news, Tour de France director Christian Prudhomme has tested positive for COVID-19. He's leaving the Tour for 8 days. The latest tests on all the current riders in the Tour have been negative, but a member of team management has tested positive in four of the teams. All teams are still able to race because no team has more than one positive test amongst its staff. The Élysée has said that today's government meeting will take place by video conference because Prime Minister Jean Castex had been in prolonged contact with Christian Prudhomme. The Prime Minister has tested negative but is expected to be retested today. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron has faced criticism from some journalists after he was filmed on Tuesday removing his mask and coughing in his hand before grabbing and drinking a glass of water during a visit to a professional high school in Clermont-Ferrand. The head of state later explained that he had choked on the fabric of his mask and had immediately put the mask back on again. French police have released a suspect detained during an investigation into a series of mystery horse mutilations across the country in recent months. The 50-year-old had earlier been arrested at his home in Alsace. Dozens of horses have been killed or maimed this year. The latest attack occurred south of Dijon on Sunday. Finally, the sales of a feminist pamphlet entitled Moi les hommes je les déteste have skyrocketed after French government officials attempted to ban the essay. France's Minister for Gender Equality declared that the book was an incitement to hatred on the grounds of gender, which is a criminal offence. Moi les hommes je les déteste explores whether women have good reason to hate men and whether anger towards men is actually a joyful and liberating path if it is allowed to be expressed. The book's author, a 25-year-old activist from Lille, said the book is an invitation to women to imagine a new way of being, to take less account of the often unsupported opinions of men, to consider the saying it's better to be alone than in bad company, seriously, and to rediscover the strength of female relationships, which are full of gentleness and strength.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
What?
Sorry.
Some of us are okay, you know?
I didn't say anything.
Do you believe in that?
Are you asking for my personal opinion?
Yes.
Okay, so stepping out of the box here?
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all.
Right, oh. Nice to know it. Cycling, Sam Bennett of Ireland has won his maiden Tour de France stage with victory on stage 10 between the Ile d'Oléron and the Ile de Ré on Tuesday. Bennett edged out Caleb Ewan of Australia in a sprint finish at the end of the 168.5-kilometre flat stage. Primo Roglic retains the yellow jersey with a 21-second overall lead over Egan Bernal, with Guillaume Martin of France in third place. Today's 11th stage is 167.5 kilometres between Châtelaillon and Poissiers. It's mainly on the flat again, with a couple of small climbs along the way, which should once again benefit the sprinters. Football France beat World Cup finalists Croatia 4-2 in Group A3 of the Nations League last night, while England shared a disappointing goalless draw away against Denmark in Group A2. Here's more from BBC Sport.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The England team was full of Premier League talent, but they were held to a 0-0 draw away to Denmark in their UEFA Nations League game. Boss Gareth Southgate gave full debuts to the Wolves skipper Connor Cody and to Calvin Phillips from newly promoted Leeds United, while Aston Villa midfielder Jack Grealish and the Arsenal youngster Ainsley Maitland-Niles came off the bench to make their first appearances. While England tried out a new formation and style of play, and Southgate had to admit it's a case of being work in progress.
Given where we're at the stage of the season and the fact the first time we've tried it, I was pleased that it gave us a real strong base to work from, and we can learn more as we play it more regularly about some of the nuances of the system that can create more problems for the opposition.
Well, England are second in their Nations League Group A2 behind the leaders Belgium, who defeated Iceland 5-1. Chelsea's Michy Batshuayi scored twice. Another Belgian international, Kevin De Bruyne, became the first Manchester City star to win the Professional Footballers Association's Men Player of the Year award. He finished ahead of teammate Raheem Sterling and four of Liverpool's Premier League title-winning squad. And Manchester United's Marcus Rashford was also recognised with a special merit award for his work combating child food poverty in the UK, which forced the government into a U-turn on its free school meals policy. And in transfer news, Abdoulaye Doucouré has joined Everton from relegated Watford for around $25 million, and the fullback Jamal Lewis has signed for Newcastle United from relegated Norwich City, the fee just over $19 million. For more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
This is also doing your homework for our first round of Premier League predictions, yes?
We certainly have, yes.
Have you?
Well, I've had a little look.
It's more than I've done. Cricket, Australia have beaten England by 5 wickets in the final T20 international in Southampton. England batted first and made an under par 145 for 6 from their 20 overs, with Australia getting to the target in 19.3 overs in a total of 146 for 5. England win the series 2-1 with the one-day international series starting in Manchester on Friday. Tennis, the fifth seed Alexander Zverev is through to the semi-finals of the US Open. The 23-year-old German beat Borna Koric in 4 sets. In the women's event, Naomi Osaka is through to the last 4 after beating world number 93 Shelby Rogers in straight sets. She'll now play the 28th seed Jennifer Brady of the United States. And in rugby union, Owen Farrell's been banned for 5 matches after being sent off for a high tackle in last week's Premiership match between Saracens and Wasps. The disciplinary panel ruled that Farrell's challenge had been totally unacceptable. He'll miss a series of matches for Saracens, but will be free to play again on the 5th of October and will be available for England's Six Nations match against Italy in Rome on October the 31st.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracy in the VAR. The general situation, weak high pressure, 1,020 millibars over the region. Winds are easterly, force 2 to 3. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, thundery showers, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,021 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showery, force 2 to 4. Northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Sunshine and scattered showers today, light to moderate southeasterly winds, top temperatures 26 to 28 degrees, overnight lows 22 degrees on the coast, 19 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Thursday and Friday, sunshine and thundery showers tomorrow, more rain and thunderstorms on Friday. Ew. Finally,
a new study in the UK has found that shoppers who load their baskets with wine rather than bottles of Coke or other sugary or diet drinks are less likely to be overweight. Researchers from the UK analysed the food and drink purchases of nearly 9,000 British households who regularly buy alcohol, juice or soft drinks. And they found that families who mostly buy sugar-sweetened or diet drinks tended to also purchase a significant proportion of fattening biscuits, chocolates and sweets. In contrast, members of families who purchased mostly wine, fruit juice or milk-based drinks typically bought more healthy food and were less likely to be overweight.
Mm. I load my shopping trolley with wine, sugary drinks and biscuits and cakes.
You have everything at the same
There's
time.
There's a lot of calories in wine, though.
Yes, but maybe you don't. I don't know. Do you always buy crisps and chocolate biscuits when you buy wine?
No. Well, I normally buy crisps to go with the wine, you know.
Yeah.
Not always. And it's so hard, though, isn't it? Isn't it really hard when you're going around the supermarket? You think, oh, I'll just get some of those.
You still haven't eaten your Pringles. Have you said thank you for them?
I have. Well, no, because I can't remember who was. It was during the lockdown, wasn't it? There's somebody. I couldn't find any sour cream and onion Pringles, and somebody very kindly sent me a packet. I can't remember who it was.
And I've been very good because I was tempted to eat them.
I've gone off them now.
Oh, you're certifiable.